want to say thanks to Councillor Lawton for raising that point. It's a really, really good point. I think we should go ahead with this recommendation today for the reasons Mr. Donnelly, Councillor Brown have just spelled out, and I will support it. But I do hope the new council takes a very early opportunity to look at the question of ethical investments and form some sort of direction to our investment agency as to what the council's position is. But I wanted to make another point, Mr. Chairman, too, if you'll let me. I think everybody around this table, and not enough people outside this organisation, have recognised the implications for ORC of the government's freshwater management policies, which are arriving like an express train. implications in terms of expertise, staff numbers, staff facilities, that this council may have to adapt to very quickly indeed. And the chief executive will have to be the person who's fleet of foot in this area to enable us to do all the things we're going to have to do as a council, working with our community partners, etc., etc. But there's going to be a hell of a lot of work to do. We won't have enough staff to do it. We won't have enough buildings to house the staff. Does our investment policy, do our reserves, he says, clawing it back to the topic on the table, allow the chief executive and us to be as fleet of foot as we're going to have to be in terms of taking on the expertise, the numbers, and the facilities for those people that we will have to do? I wonder if Mr. Donnelly can hazard an answer to that.
Mr. Donnelly?
Because I don't know exactly what we're going to have to spend or provide for at this point. So
I should have been more precise. You're quite right. If this council had to suddenly employ 50 more people and accommodate them in the space of 6 months, have we got reserve funds available to the chief executive to be able to do that?
Well, the simple answer would be that if that was going to happen, that's a pretty significant change, and that would have to actually go through and be consulted on, and we'd have to do a full business case. So until we do all of that, you know, I don't know how that may or may not get funded.
But Mr. Benham,
just to comment on that in terms of the reserves of this organisation, I mean, compared with many councils, this council is in a very strong position financially. You know, there's some big decisions clearly to make there, but you're fortunate in the reserves that you have, and they are covered by cash investments and the investment fund. So you do have the wherewithal, but clearly once it's spent, it's spent.
That's another discussion, but I think the essence of your question, Councillor Deaker, is how liquid is this reserve fund?
I think it was, but Mr. Donnelly makes a very, very good point too in terms of consultation, business case, significance, all of that, I know.
Yeah.
That's good, but I'm concerned that the new council may have to make some very big adjustments quite rapidly over the next 18 months.
All right. Any further discussion? If not, the recommendations here have been moved and seconded that we receive the report and we adopt the attached Treasury Management Policy and Incorporated Statement of Investment Policy and Objectives. No further questions or discussion. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Yeah. Carried. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Benham.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Donnelly. All right. More gerrymandering of the agenda, and this time I'm taking into account Mr. Hamp's presence. Is he still with us? Mike, can you hear us? Righto. So we'll
I can hear you.
Hello from Frankton. We'll go to item 10.6. Dr. Like Palmer, can you join us, please?
Sounds like he's in the culvert, Mr. Chair.
sounds like a big culvert. page 249 of our agendas. Everybody with us? All right. Welcome, Dr. Palmer.
Thank you.
I'll hand straight to you to give us an intro and remind us of why this has come to us today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just say two things. The first is make a correction, a minor correction to paragraph 23. I refer to the Queenstown Special Rating District. It should, of course, be the Wakatipu Rating District. And the second thing to say is that the reason why this paper is before you is set out in paragraph 13, which is the issue. The issue being, what role should this council play in respect of this matter, and what priority should it give it? Take the rest of the report as read. Happy to answer any questions.
Right. Open it up for discussion. Councillor Lawton.
Mr. Chairman, we do have responsibilities for river management, and so maintaining the creek, and so we undertook inspections to make sure it was in satisfactory condition, undertook some physical work, so that role of council is very clear. We did a little bit of preliminary work, which I've appended to my report, in respect of a boulder. There was a comment made that there was some impediment to outflow, not related to the culvert, but to the creek. So we did some preliminary work around that. We couldn't find the obstruction. Staff went on site at least twice and couldn't find the obstruction. And then I volunteered some work that would look at what if you excavated the creek, what benefit might arise. And that's reported in my report. Chairman, I haven't looked at all of the documentation, but I have appended some correspondence to do with a Section 92 request, which I think sets out the nub of the issue about to what degree did ORC as the consent authority direct the applicant to alter their application. And what I've taken from that is that there were some concerns raised around what was applied for by the applicant. They reflected on that. They chose to vary their application, and that was processed, and the consent was granted. And that's set out in my report. I've included the recommending report, and I've included the Section 92 correspondence. Not the role of the consent authority to advise the applicant on what they should do. It's the role of the consent authority to look at the effects assessment provided by the applicant and form a view around whether that is adequate and has integrity.
Does Scott?
Yeah, I would like to move option two.
adoption of option two. Yeah. And that is basically QLDC dot NZTA and ORC scoping the investigation establishment of a target water level range and so forth and so forth and so forth. It seems to me that there, you know, an issue has been identified. We've heard from the public forum. You know, I raised the question, you know, was it simply an issue of raising the track and apparently not. I'm aware that if the historical culvert was 1.6 metres in diameter and is now 1.35, on the surface it seems a relatively minor. It's dropped by 0.25 metres, but in fact the area, pi r squared, has dropped by 25%, and by the sound of it, it's reasonably significant. So look, I just think let's just take this opportunity. We've got the where the key stakeholders work together to scope this thing out, and ideally through some discussion, they themselves, in terms of further costs, will determine where the costs will lie. And I think that's the answer. What other alternative do we have? Are we just going to sit on this?
You can do it.
Can I speak to them?
No, Councillor Noon is next, then Councillor Osborne.
Through Mr. Chairman, I'm not aware of. I'm relying on documentation going back to an issue that's, you know, 14 years old. I wasn't personally involved in the application, so I'm relying on documentation. I'm just trying to find here in the recommending report. It describes the written approvals that were received, and they include a written approval from Department of Conservation.
Yeah. Right, Councillor Laws.
There is an option three. Just do it. This is the reason why local government's got the reputation it has. We've sat round here on this issue of the culvert. It's just pathetic. You know what the right thing to do is. We've got the evidence to go and do it. We're now going to sit down and have another chat with more local government and bureaucrats from the government departments. We're going to prepare yet another report and bring it here, and we're going to have another months and months of delay. I'm not going to get it, but I just don't like scoping studies. They're just an excuse not to do anything, Brian. They just spend more money. We'll actually spend more money on staff time going through a scoping study than we would if we just couldn't do it.
But we need to work with these entities.
NZTA and say, order. We'll do it for you, mate. We'll do it for you. NZTA would say, it's fine.
Yeah.
We need to lead.
Well, the basis of their question is, why would we? It's not our culvert.
I know that, but...
And so we just need to
part
be...
part of our remediation.
I'm not sure it is part of the remediation, but...
There's also practical questions there. Two practical questions.
Mrs. Gutter?
Well, I think there's two practical questions, and you know, you will make a decision, and that is entirely your prerogative. But my question back to you is, how do I fund it, and what don't I do?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Like tons of money sitting in reserves. You don't need to touch anything else.
No.
There's funding policies. There's a whole process to go through.
There's a whole process. Yeah. So I'm just saying, how do you want me to pay for it? And I've only got limited resources who have a full work program for this year, so which things don't we do instead?
Yeah. Councillor Neil?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I think we need to be really clear about the changes that were made to the pre-existing situation. The pre-existing situation is described in paragraph 10 of my report, where there were two 900mm diameter culverts, a combined cross-sectional area of 1.27 square metres. What we presently have is a single culvert, 1.35 metres in diameter, with a cross-sectional area of 1.43. The existing culvert is bigger than what was there prior. It's true that a 1.6 metre diameter culvert would have been even bigger, but what is there at the minute is larger. Second thing is that culvert diameter is not the only factor. As I've noted in paragraph 16, you can't just look at the culvert diameter. There's other factors, including its slope and its length and its inlet shape, for example. So part of the discussion associated with the Section 92 request wasn't just about culvert diameter, but it was about the base level of the culvert. So it's a bit more complex technically than just simply saying it was about diameter. In respect of what's changed, I haven't done any analysis around how it might have been different in 1999, but it may be that things like antecedent pre-flood conditions were different. It may be that there were rainfall patterns that were different. It may be that the present lake level is just more noticeable given the construction of a walkway and the riparian plantings and other things that weren't there when the lake was higher. So I'm not sure that answers Councillor Neil's question, but the fundamental question is, what does a good lake level regime actually look like? And you don't know whether a 1.6 metre diameter culvert or any other structure is satisfactory until you've answered that fundamental question: is what should that lake level regime of Lake Hayes look like? And are you managing for all potential future flood levels or 10% of them? You know, what do you actually want to achieve? What is the problem to be solved? And that is always the start point in any flood problem.
Well, that's what option two is all about, to scope that, isn't it?
It is, and that's what I'm saying. You've got to start with the fundamentals. What is the problem to be solved? And that has to be scoped. Otherwise, you'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on infrastructure, which may not actually achieve what you want to achieve.
It's about...
Well, I think Mike said it before when I asked the question, what size diameter does he think that the pipe should be? And he said that's engineers to decide. So that's what we've got to do. We've got to find out exactly what it is that needs to be put in place to do the job. And then we need to work through how that's going to happen.
Councillor Captain?
Look, I think Councillor Neil was on the button, I think. We haven't defined the problem. There is some weird stuff being talked about the outflow from this lake. And I've done a bit of culvert design in years gone by, and I understand the hydraulics of open channel flow. And here you've got a bigger culvert, right? And because it's not two pipes but one, then it's not going to perform worse than the two. So it's got the capacity to probably pass more water, depending on the differential head in the culvert. But if you have a look closely at those pictures, the hydraulic gradient of the creek is very low. So if you were to put an enormous culvert in, then immediately you've actually got a constriction, a natural constriction in the creek, because the water's moving very slowly in a laminar fashion in the creek. And so this whole business has got more questions than answers. I think it goes bang to one side, and we talk about whether or not this business of variable lake levels is a problem. That's the problem. Let the engineers decide about the water running in or running out or whatever happens, and but don't underestimate, in a situation where you've got such a low hydraulic gradient, don't underestimate this, the complexity of putting together a system which provides both for a maximum and a minimum. You know, then it starts to get a little, it starts to tax the mind just a little bit. So the question we should be answering today, as has already been pointed out, is it an issue or is it just a bit of a nuisance for those who happen to live around that area? I don't know the answer to that, but that's the question that's being asked. Sandra.
All right, Councillor Robinson.
Totally support that. I wonder if the two options are actually the options. Both actions, once you've defined a problem, or we haven't actually defined a problem, and... so one's to do nothing, so okay, you'd have to have defined that there isn't an issue, and the second one is to do something, and you'd still have to have defined that there's an issue. So I think, wasn't the option B, considering whether it is one of the remediation options discussed with the community as part of the wider package or not? If you're looking at Lake Hayes and its quality, is it something you need to consider?
Because it hasn't been in our current process. Yeah,
I don't think we can do one or two at this point.
Councillor Scott?
Well, I'm not so sure, Mr Chair. I mean, option two talks about scoping the investigation and establishment of a target water level range for Lake Hayes. So,
which essentially, does that not scope out your question... Councillor Robertson?
That will determine the answer.
The lake operating range?
Is the status quo okay?
Yeah. That's the way I interpreted those words.
So it was intended to be the problem definition piece?
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's the problem, it seems. Levels are higher than are desirable. Some of the time.
All right, I'm going to wind this up. We do have a recommendations 1, 2 and 3. Moved, I think, Mr. Councillor Scott and Councillor Noon. The first two are to receive the report. Where are we?
Notes the maintenance and then approves option two.
And approves option two. Councillor Hope?
I'm just going to say I support and agree with what Councillor Robinson says. Maybe we should just split out a bit more. What's coming into the lake? You know, what's there? What's changed? It's a long time ago and things have changed.
Well, that's what this is going to do, scoping the investigation.
And that's the understanding that Dr. Palmer's got. Dr. Palmer?
Yeah, I just want to point out that with respect of option two, the last sentence I've said, which is this option would require an incorporation of activity and funding of ORC's share of that investigation into the draft annual plan. So what I'm saying is if you pursue option two, it'll feed into a draft annual plan for consideration with all the other priorities for commencement no sooner than the 1st of July 2020, because it requires resource, as Mrs. Gardner has already said, that we just don't have in the current financial year. So be really clear on timing of option two.
All right, had enough discussion. Recommendations have been moved and seconded. I'm going to put it.
Sorry, can I just...
Mrs. Gardner?
Just one more point. On the off chance that DOC and NZTA and QLDC say, no, it doesn't do with us, we're not interested, thanks very much. Do you want us to fund the whole thing?
You'll need to report that to the council and decide on how to proceed.
All right.
But the request there is for all those agencies to be involved. And
correct.
So
we'll do a
step. Council can't give you the mandate. If that doesn't work, what next? It's maybe something we'll need to come back. All right, we're going to put the recommendations. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Dr. Palmer. On back to item 10.3. Need a
notification of plan change 6AA. I think we've dealt with everything before that. Just about need a prize today for juggling the agenda.
It's 10.4.
No, that's the panel.
Oh, that's hearing panel.
10.3, page 89 of your agendas. Welcome, ladies. And with Anita is Lucy Deltor from Wynn Williams. And so here to provide some advice, and very warm welcome. Now, Council's familiar with the reason behind this paper, and you will note that there has been one change in particular from earlier conversations, and that the timeframe is now suggested to move out to 2026. I just can't see that in the recommendations. I'm with that paragraph 23 in the actual, yeah.
But it's not in the recommendations.
But no, it doesn't need to be because it actually picks up the plan change. It's in the details in the plan change, yeah. So, welcome. Anita, who's going to, yep, Anita, sure, can you just give us some background and update, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Chairman, the purpose of this plan change is reasonably apparent. It's on.
Yeah, no, it's not working. The lights, yeah. Give it a tap or push the button. That's
Anita,
it.
Anita, are you okay or would you rather I spoke?
It's all good.
All right.
Makes it much quieter at home tonight, so they'll be happy.
We couldn't possibly comment.
So as I was saying, you're aware of the background for 6AA. The change in the date was... 2026 is almost incidental. The point was to choose a date that was out beyond when the full water plan review was done so that we don't get into the situation where we've got operative rules and proposed rules, which both need to be given effect to. That was the issue with the 2023. If we didn't get this plan change operative by before 1 April 2020 this year, next year, then we'll still have the consents coming in. We've been through all the statutory processes. We've been through the first scheduled consultation, the consultation with iwi. Very little feedback received. People are sort of already moving on, focusing on two things. One is the essential fresh water, and two is the omnibus plan change that we're working on. So I don't think there's a lot else to say. Happy to answer any questions. If they're really technical, I'm going to kick them to Lucy. But otherwise,
I thought Gwyneth was going to answer the technical questions.
I was kicking that one too.
No, that's great. Thank you, and we'll open it up for discussion. Councillor Law.
Thank you. We have had a lot of discussion in this, but again, it hits the vines, and the community is worried that this means that the weakening of walls, and there's potential for more pollution. Can we just
Yep, there's one down here somewhere.
On our environment and what, sort of protections have we got to use in that situation?
Sure. So through you, Mr. Chairman, I guess there's a couple of components to that. The first is what's currently happening will continue to happen. And while that might not be the very best that could happen, it's not getting worse. But the second part of it is that the omnibus plan change will be very hot on the tail of this one. As well as that essential fresh water things. Now, some of the stuff in the omnibus plan change are more practical on the ground things that we know will have a quicker effect. So there is absolutely a gap between this one and the next one coming, but the key is to make that gap as short as possible and the omnibus stuff, yep. Which is, it was aimed for March 2020, but we'll need to wait for the essential fresh water to be gazetted because some of the stuff in the omnibus, for example, the stock exclusion and the farm environment plans, makes no sense for us to write something that's different to what's going to come through the government. I understand the gazettal of essential fresh water is targeted for late March, April, So we're within, you know, the timeframes we were anticipating, bar a few weeks. So status quo will remain, and we'll quickly follow up with some really pragmatic things that we've talked about before. So strengthening provisions around discharges, or giving the consents team some policies and objectives to enable better consenting, introducing the stock exclusion, farm dairy effluent, good management practices, all that sort of stuff is what's coming quickly on the tail of it.
Mr. Scott?
Yeah, look, I just about fell off the back of my chair when I read this report yesterday, when I saw it extended 3 years, and I thought, well, what the heck's going on here? But I can understand the logic of it. What it means is when we've got a new plan in place, they can back off this provision. Look, I'm going to support it, but just on the basis of what's been said, that the community keeps on doing what it's doing. It actually needs to do things a hell of a lot better than what it's doing. But in terms of Schedule 16, in terms of testing, water testing, using overseer, not just throwing it away, as an indication of the very approximate nitrogen issue on their land, and even if that's not enforceable on a particular date, it's still key information that is in sync where central government's coming from. And secondly, this council's tasked with the challenge of strengthening our plan, not backing off it, strengthening it over the next 6 months. And I wish the next council all the best in that responsibility.
Councillor Laws?
I just got... So, could you just take me through, because the idea is, as I understand it, to wait, integrate everything, makes perfect sense. So it's an integration of regional and national plans around about the same date, and we can all move that to that area. But in the meantime, I think, Lucy, is it? You're Wynne Williams, your lawyers?
Yes.
And one of the arguments here, I think, in terms of policy considerations, that's paragraphs 26 to 34, and I assume you had some input into that, was, listen, it's probably unenforceable what we're doing anyhow, it's ambiguous, we can't do it properly, it's a botched job, let's do it once and let's do it properly, as I understand that advice. But what's to stop me still... And one of the things you said is, yes, but a whole lot of people can go and get a resource consent. What's to stop me still doing that?
There would be nothing stopping you obtaining a consent, but there's no rule in force until 2026 that requires that consent. So it would be a slightly perverse outcome for a person to go and do that because they don't need to, in short.
That's your argument for why... You want the change also is because you don't want farmers heading off to you and gaming the system. Is that right?
So essentially what the change is doing is rather than rules that would have come into force on 1 April 2020, it's giving the time for new rules to be put in place and importantly made operative, which comes back to essentially the Act requires both proposed plan and operative plans to be complied with. So the new rules need to be operative by 2026, and they will dictate exactly what consents are required for what matters.
There's a lot of farmers that have done a lot of work to try and get themselves operative for next year, of their own volition. Well, no, actually, driven by the existing plan or the existing intent to have the plan. Is there a danger that we lose the good work that they have done? What is planned to do to ensure that they are continued to be encouraged in the work that they are doing to reduce the amount of nitrogen, phosphate, etc.?
So through you, Mr. Chair, there's no reason we should lose that stuff. So part of the work that the Rural Liaison are doing is picking up all the other parts that were in the original 6A around GMP and around doing all that good work, and that's going to continue. All this plan change will do is mean that we don't get a whole surge of consents coming in from 1 April next year. So they only need consent from 1 April next year. They can't apply for consent before a rule is
Well, there's no rule. Nothing to apply under.
Yes, so they can't actually apply for a consent until 1 April 2020 at the earliest if the rule stays as it is. So it will only be if the new rules are not operative, to take that to 2026, that they could then consider applying. But as we've talked about earlier, that's not the best outcome because there's uncertainty around exactly what we would be consenting, what a consent would look like. And it also runs the risk of undermining the future plan change work we're doing. If there's a whole host of consents out there that are managing water quality not in the way that we are seeking to do it and not in the way that the government's pushing us now as well.
And finally, once we've published this plan, people will have a chance to submit to it.
Absolutely.
What's the timing that you expect that process to have been gone through and... this plan either or some amendment or fix?
Sure. So the the dates for notification are in the report. So if it's approved today, it would be notified on the 5th of October. That's right. And submissions are open for 20 working days. And then the statutory timeframes from there. So the process will be submissions close, a summary of submissions is prepared, further submissions go out for consultation, and then a hearing.
Are we planning to have an independent commission or have a...
That's the
next item on the agenda. Councillor Brown?
I just don't quite get this. The thing concerns me, the message is already sort of out there in the farm community that they're going to be let off for a while. They're going to be let off for a while.
Oh.
So that does concern me. I think it's very important, the message as we get out there after that they are quite strong in the correct message because...
Correct.
It is a wee bit of a worry.
So we'll come back to that in a moment. I think it was Councillor Roberts. Did you have a question too?
Yeah, I did. Thanks. I think recapping on that, on the strengthening, there's quite a lot of existing rules in the water plan besides 6A that can be relied on, as well as higher order documents, actually.
Mm.
But we are looking to strengthen. But in terms of how the council works and how we achieve good water, we've talked about it before, it's not just regulation that does that.
No.
There's a willingness to act and a willingness to work in partnership. And I think we've well and truly voiced this council, and I'm sure the next council will hear from community that that's where we need to be as well. So there's a non-regulatory arm to strengthening too. The next thing is just in understanding the risk as well of the consents, and we still have some people in the community and also consultants that think that, and not necessarily this scenario, but that you can just use review conditions. So you could get a really long consent, and that's all really good because when a national policy statement or something comes in, we'll just review it that way. So that's all lovely and easy to do. But I'm just wondering if we could have a brief answer on the risk involved in just relying on consent review clauses from a council.
So that's a council risk?
There's quite a few issues with reviews. You obviously have to go through another statutory process, which is treated akin to the application in the first place. One of the main issues for councils too with reviews is cost recovery. So reviews, depending on which section of the Act they occur under, the council actually doesn't have a cost recovery mechanism through Section 36 of the Act. So that's a big disincentive to the review process in addition to the cumbersome nature of the process.
All right, I'll make a couple of comments and then Mrs. Gardner can either correct me or pick up some further detail. So there's a wee bit of misinterpretation here, I think, and Councillor Brown sort of referred to it. All we're talking about is the Schedule 16 limits coming into force. They are still going to sit there as Schedule 16. So they are for the landowners need to be working towards complying with. The prohibited activities in our water plan stay as they are. So you can't discharge sediment unless you've without having some mitigation measure, etc., etc., etc. the stock pugging, the access to water, the whole range of other things, and some of those will get tweaked and picked up with the national policy statement. Schedule 15 still sits there, which is the receiving environment, and we saw in a workshop this morning the standards and whether we're complying or not with what's proposed as a new NPS and some new attributes there. So this is not actually walking away from anything. The plan itself with the limits still sits there. It's the date when we were thinking we were going to have some compliance checking around monitoring and compliance checking around achievement of those standards on farm. But actually, when we're talking non-point source, this is the nub of this discussion. I'm going to come back to it later in some comments at the end of the meeting. It's very difficult to actually link land use and specific land users with the discharge. So the other point is that no farmer at anywhere in New Zealand right at the moment thinks that they're going to carry on as per normal, because of the freshwater package that's sitting in front of them is just dominating all rural media, and we saw it again, and that has completely gazumped our water plan. So this is just a minor from a legal consenting issue. It gives certainty for our community, but I can assure you, putting my farmer's hat on, they will stay very focused on making some improvements. There is a whole a step change going to be required as a result of the freshwater package. So this is a nice, tidy process. It should whistle through. I'd be disappointed if anybody made one. We got one submission, but let's see. And it's actually just a bit of a reflection on where we are based on time frame and a whole range of other issues. But the national picture has completely gazumped us. Councillor Brown?
I'm just a little bit confused. Like, for example, with the nitrogen leaching with Overseer, obviously that's changed the
model of Overseer you're able to use.
How does that apply now?
So the number's still there in our schedule, as I understand it, Mrs. Gardner?
Yeah, so the problem is that we're in the position where, at the moment under the rules, all you have to do is collect your data, and we can go to the farmer and say, hey, give us your data and we'll run it through Overseer. That's what the rules say at the moment. In April 2020, we were going to flick into the scenario whereby we would require you to have a nutrient management plan and to put your data through Overseer and to meet a particular number. The problem with the fact that the version of Overseer has changed is that if you put your same numbers through the new version of Overseer, you can fail where you can pass under the previous version, which is in the plan. And because the version is named in the plan, you can't use the new version legally anyway. We would have difficulty, I think, in making that stack up.
Yep.
So really, we're at now, and if you look at what we discussed this morning, like, there wasn't any talk of Overseer. And I think that's because while the government is investing in Overseer at the moment, that there is, I guess, a different view from what there was in the past, where every regional council under the sun was writing Overseer into plans, that it was a regulatory tool. Actually, now the view is that it's a useful tool, but it's probably not a regulatory tool per se, or at the moment it's not fit to be a regulatory tool. So when you look at the package that we've got coming from government now, it's much more focused on those other kinds of measures and those additional measures to tell us about what's happening in the environment and what the loadings are. So the way that I kind of really think of it now is that even if we didn't change plan change 6A and it came in April 2020, very close on its heels, we have to notify new rules consistent with the freshwater NPS, the proposed freshwater NPS. That has to be done by 2023, so that's a small window of time. You then We have the omnibus plan change, which will make some changes in the meantime, which will be notified by March. So actually that cuts your window down to 6 months for some other things. And also the timing of the NESs will be interesting, because NESs basically get gazetted, handed down to us as rules automatically, so you've got to kick them off straight away pretty much, unless there's some kind of delay written into them. So some of the stuff about wintering and stock restrictions and stuff, that'll all happen in that window anyway. So there's no way that what we're doing is going to mean a slide, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff that will kick in very shortly after we make the change.
Does that answer your question, Councillor Brown? Yeah. Yep. All right. I'm happy to move the recommendations 1 to 5. Is there a seconder? Councillor Hope. Any further discussion? I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. We'll move to item 10.4, then, establishment of a hearing panel to hear the plan change that we've just discussed. Hopefully it'll be quite a tidy and succinct plan change. And I will happy to move the recommendations. And I'd like to, recommendation one appoints Rob Van, how do you say his surname?
Vorshausen.
He's available over the December-January period from memory, reading the report. Hopefully we can achieve that. And two, delegates under Section 34A of the Resource Management Act, all the powers, functions, da-da-da-da-da.
I'll second that, Mr Chairman.
Seconded, Councillor Bell. Discussion, Councillor Scott.
Yeah, a couple of points. The first one is what this gentleman is tasked with is setting council policy on the, you know, particularly important policy. You know, we've had a push to use independent commissioners when it's implementing our policy. This is actually setting our policy, and we're bringing somebody independent in to actually do that. And historically, there would be some democratically elected local councillor or whatever with appropriate qualifications would be involved in that process. For example, the pest plan had three plus an expert where required, and in this instance we're just going with one expert. That's the first point. So we're setting up, we've got somebody else in to set up our policy, because we're assuming that they're just going to turn up and say, yeah, all good. Whereas actually this is a very contentious issue, and who's to say where it'll actually land up? That's the first point. The second point I'll make is, generally, in terms of my training, you know, is, or understanding, is that typically you'd get more than one person. So we're putting all, this is a very appropriately qualified gentleman, engineering qualifications. What more can I say? But nevertheless, still one person. And so, you know, there's a couple of, I just want, and I noticed it didn't go via the hearings appointment committee, and maybe that's appropriate, I'm not sure, but I've got some questions.
So the person on the panel is hearing the submissions to the plan change that we have developed.
Yeah.
You've just approved it.
Yeah.
So he's not developing policy.
No.
Well, he will be if he changes it.
It's a recommendation.
So the
it will be if he's changing it.
It's a recommendation to council.
The final decision is yours.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Now,
and how often do we, because we haven't actually heard the submissions, you know, like there's 100 submissions, we haven't actually heard them, and then all of a sudden we then get into a debate that somebody's been, we haven't got somebody that's part of the process.
Yeah, Mrs. Gardner, I'll come to you in a minute. Councillor Orr, no,
my question.
Mrs. Gardner.
Okay, look, I just want to try and help a little bit. This is a really, in the scheme of things, it's a very minor plan change.
Yeah,
it's a very minor plan change, sort of,
on an important topic.
It is an important topic, but
it's not the topic that's being debated.
From the point of view of what it's actually doing to the plan, is it's really minor.
Yep.
Yeah, true.
When you take into account all of the other things that are happening as a consequence of what we're trying to achieve with our omnibus plan change and the freshwater package, I suspect that this will be a relatively smooth process. Could be wrong.
The other issue
we have, of course, is timing. So it's very difficult for us to be able to enter into a process where we're about to notify, we're going to need to engage with a commissioner right at this time where we don't know who's going to be on the new council, and we don't know what skills they will have. We might, in fact, find ourselves in a position where we don't have the availability of others, or they haven't done the training, or whatever the case may be. So what we've done is said, look, in the scheme of things, we think this is relatively low risk from the point of view that it's a minor plan change, and that we've recommended two people who are really well qualified, and therefore we're satisfied that it's an appropriate
recommendation.
There's two options.
I've read it. You've got two options for one position.
Yes.
Councillor Neil or Ms Gunner, you've... We do occasionally. Plan changes will often bring appointments subcommittee is appointing panels for hearing consent applications, publicly notified consent applications. But plan changes usually come through council, and in this case, the timing thing. So, Councillor Laws, was your question answered?
No.
Ah.
But somebody, Lucy, might be able to answer this one. Lucy, I'm a new councillor, so forgive me, but I just want to clarify.
Well, you've been dragging that out all the
time. Lucy, I'm just part of the beating.
Is that a junior council?
Just part of the beating.
Oh, you've been there for a while.
Spit the question out.
Okay, and it is this. We're going to do a plan change here, or somebody, we've got commissioners in. They report back to here with their report. It's a recommendation, is that correct?
Yes.
And we can move to can we move to amend, or can we only move to accept or reject?
The safest course.
No, that's not the question I asked you.
You can make amendments, but there are legal risks associated
with
it.
Okay, cool. So we can actually reject it. What happens if something is rejected by a council? So, for example, let's just say this man comes back on this particular or any consent, and we have a commissioner for it and it's rejected by the council. What happens next?
The council would then need to determine whether to rehear the submissions.
Yes.
Or it would have other options like withdrawing the plan change.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, in seconding this motion, I did some research with some people that are involved in this game, and they said that this man will serve you to the best.
Yes.
So we're quite confident.
We've worked with Rob in the past.
Yeah.
Yep.
That the job will be done right.
But let's just keep things in context. This is just moving the date 6/8.
Well,
right.
That's what I'm asking. You're prejudging. He's going to listen to
the
submitters.
Now, that's the plan
sake.
Change.
So, through you, Mr. Chair, he's confined by the scope of the plan change.
Exactly.
He can't do a whole lot of other things.
Correct.
The scope is so small that he's really confined.
Correct. Have you read the plan change? Councillor Kempton.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Look, there seems to be a bit of a thought in Councillor Scott's mind that somehow a councillor who happens to have qualified is going to look at this thing entirely different from an independent person who has qualified. Well, that's not their job. The fact that they're a councillor is beside the point. And it's merely traditional that from time to time we've used councillors because we think that there might be some advantage in terms of understandings gained and all those sorts of things.
Correct.
But their job is identical. You know that, and I know that. So can we move right along?
Yeah, well, righto. So we've had enough discussion. it has been moved and seconded, Inspector, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, all right. And, yes, I moved it, and we've put Rob's name in and and Councillor Bell second it. Right, I'm going to put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Yep. Against? Carried. Thank you.
Phew.
That was, should have taken 30 seconds, but anyway, where are we? We've jumped around. I've just about...
Oh, we're finished.
That's it.
Really?
No, there is.
I think we're at
10.7.
Harbourmaster, is that 10.7?
Yes, page 300. A cup of tea, though, Mr. Chair.
Page 300.
You wasted too much time in that last one.
You've been a pain in the butt. You're not getting a cup of tea.
Can we go and get one and then bring it back?
No, we'll have one. We'll deal with this delegation first. Welcome, Richard and Steve. And item 10.8, page 337 of your agendas. Who wants to introduce it?
I will, thanks, Mr. Chair. So this is the report that we discussed at committee two weeks ago, presenting the option to council to start the process to bring the delegations for Harbour Master Dues on Lake Dunstan back to Otago Regional Council.
Great. And I see that the process timeframe will take longer than from here to Christmas, but Central Otago District Council is keen for ORC to uplift the responsibilities essentially almost immediately. So there's an arrangement in place so that can occur over the summer while the planning side of it works through the process. Am I correct?
That's correct. So the delegation of responsibilities to the Harbour Masters function is already underway, but we can't complete that process until our navigational safety bylaws updated to include Lake Dunstan.
Right. Steve, is there anything? Yes, thank you. Moved, Councillor Noon. Is there a seconder?
1, 2, and 3.
Thank you, Councillor Lawton. Steve, is there anything you wish to add?
No, just to say CODC have already issued the warrants for myself and the Deputy Harbour Master to cover their bylaws as of this week. So we're in a good place to deal with that. And then the process to go to consultation is obviously what we're asking for here now. So that's a good opportunity to mix the Lake Dunstan bylaws and be consistent across our new set as well. So it's a good opportunity. And it's a piece of ongoing work, really. We've looked at the assets out there. We've already been out and surveyed the assets. And you can see in the report there's a number of those. We need to be in a position where we know they're happy. We can do that in a relatively short time frame, make sure they're fit for purpose. I'm relatively content with the proposal on the table from my point of view.
Good. Thank you. Councillor Hope.
Decent question. Thank you. Item 17, it just says that assets such as swing pontoons and associated equipment remain with responsibility of the CODC. If they replace that, do they have to come through you and tell you what they're going to do?
Yes, there's a couple of issues. There'll be a notification to us, but they more formally have to apply to LINS for a mooring at Lake Dunstan, because LINS own the bed of the lake. So there's a three-way communication now, one with us around navigation. Is it a navigation issue? Relatively a simple response, but a more complicated planning consents approach to LINS, which usually requests our support for that application.
Mr. Scott?
I see that the ORC cannot refuse the reversal of the transfer. Are there any risks that we should be aware of or concerned about?
I don't particularly think so. The previous setup was such that the services for Harbour Master was contracted out by CODC, and coverage on the water was only 30 days a year in certain specific events. I don't see, if anything, we're in a position to provide more cover because we're here 24/7, 365. We're in a position to have a good presence and respond to any emergencies in a good time frame. And I don't see it as any more risk than we have across the rest of our waterways currently. So,
like, will you be continuing the contracts with people on the water for a period, or how does that work?
We've got potential for some options to look at. So we could go down the CODC route or the QODC route and contract the services.
Yeah.
Currently, the initial thought process is that we will establish the moorings and the marks to a good condition, and then we'll go through a period of review, I think over a 12-month period, and just see if we're given enough response to it. I think we've got capacity at the moment with two people based here to deal with that currently,
as the workload increases, that might be something we review going down the line.
Thank you.
Further discussion? All right, I'm going to put the recommendations. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you, Richard and Steve, and good luck. I'll ask you a question later privately. That's good. All right. Well, I'm just wondering, we'll stand adjourned for a cup of tea. So what do you got in line? We've got the new bylaws in place and people have got to have a registration number or name on their boat, etc. Have we got a promotion campaign between now and Christmas to raise the awareness on that? It doesn't seem to be as good as awareness.
As this goes forward and we look at the moorings, there'll be a good period of time spent in the area in Central, so we'll use that to benefit the education
process. I mean across the whole region.
We've got Maritime New Zealand No Excuses campaign coming,
right.
And that will be part of that process as well. So it's just a general ongoing where we are, what we're doing at any given time, and we're taking every opportunity we can to engage with the groups and go from there with it, really.
All right, we'll adjourn for a cup of tea. Let's get back here at about 4:15. Grab a quick cuppa and we'll keep going. So that's it going on. Building Consent Authority meets. What a good team. That's done. We're done the side boat.
Sign. Yep. So this here, just so you know, is the wood. This is a wee letter for you from me and Sarah.
Oh, lovely.
So we give you a representation letter that is basically the same as the representation letter that goes to goes to the lawyer.
What he said in a lot of words is he's been a good boy and done everything he should have.
Yeah, and what it says is it gives you a little bit of comfort that at least you can say, well, yeah, it all turns to shit.
I signed
it,
and he said.
So there's two copies of this, because one we keep and one goes to Deloitte. So you're the bottom one. Switching over. Two copies of the financial statement. And one for us. And one for and then what we got is so these here. So we've actually got so there's the forward that you sign, and then over the next page is the statement of compliance. So you've got to sign each one.
Anyway, there's two parts to it. One is you see there's a couple of things you'd like to tidy up straight out.
Nothing else in there.
Unrelated to this. You just need to
take our kids out.
We've been through and had a proper mug through on the blue, green, yellow, all coded what's good, what we need to put in staff across. So we're in a good place. I'll speak to Peter tomorrow.
I think it's over, isn't it?
I'm nailing down to this time frame and where we're going to go, so that the great you and I both know where we're going to get targets.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Send us the order of opinion.
Order of opinion, and we're job done.
I'll tell you one thing.
Treasury report.
Treasury report's just the
normal committee.
Oh, we're going to go to committee.
It's all leading you towards a certain predestined.
No.
It's just we throw it in the risk. It's just the meeting.
Thank you. I did do Forest and Redwood, but if I'd probably what I wrote. I did a couple of buses, but I still wasn't going to be here.
What is it?
Yes. She did mention that, and I forgot about it.
Oh, that's the policy around.
Do we need Sarah?
Righto.
Wow.
Yep.
I knew the
coat outside. Look all right?
I automatically assumed the south. Well, she's probably relying upon the fact that Mosgiel knows it.
I think she is just quite.
Yes, she did mention that. So Stephen Quarterweg's put his apology in.
I don't know. I mean, you see, it's because okay. Same as you. You know how you've got Otago. Sorry, you've got
Clutha. Aaron.
Well, we've got
Scott Woody and his partner and his fiance and
they don't
Emma.
Like each other.
Or an apology.
They they really don't like each other now because of that QLDC.
Yeah.
Well, and the girl who I thought was going to street her, which is Ella's friend, foolishly, she was chairman of it, and she put in the consent.
Would you not do a couple of things about that? You'd have to...
Oh, you just say, listen, it's a process that we went through.
Yeah.
It's going to be decided.
But you know, she's still in it. Yeah, but it's going to snowball.
I know. I know. I said that to her. I said, leave it alone.
Yeah, but she didn't. So you think now she's actually...
Now she's created a picture. So, and then I'll tell you, he's really running probably the best campaign of everybody is Gary Cowan.
Yeah, he's done a really good one. Well, he's got everything to prove this time, hasn't he?
But
if he doesn't do it, this is the third time I'm lucky.
And of course, Alexa and Phil were a bit of a team. They've fallen out huge time.
Oh, no, see, I only see you and say, listen, I'm going to this. Do you want to come? Because I've asked him if I can have you.
Yeah.
Because he's actually a really lovely guy. And I suddenly thought, if he didn't get on, God damn it, I didn't get on. You could just pick up something, not the wrong thing. That wouldn't be the end of the road. It would probably be easier doing the catchment works than being in here.
Graham's in trouble.
Is he?
He thinks he is in trouble, and I think he is in trouble. Yeah.
Look, and you've got to go and do your thing with the kids, and you've got to say to yourself, I've done my best, hand on my heart, there's nothing else to do.
I said to him,
he's
been printed.
Yeah,
I wasn't organised either. My pamphlet's
yeah, but you're clever. You know how to work it. You know what I mean. I'm glad you've seen my thing because it was your advice.
That was really good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, Michael said he's seen it, but Michael said he hasn't seen his one. Have you seen Michael Deaker's?
No.
What am I just thought? Did something like a million.
I've seen yours.
Things.
Oh, that good.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm doing that myself,
yeah.
But not until next week.
See, the paper's all at now. You've
I know.
Already got from now.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
they
haven't made the choices.
No, I know. They've made their choices. You're right.
And a third of voters at the last election made up their minds in the last 5 days.
Yeah.
We've got it. And people make that mistake. They go, oh, it's all right now.
No, it's not. That's
you've got to run a campaign all the way through.
Well, the problem is more, it's really hard to keep people to have you. You wrote them.
No,
I've
got to read RS.
4 or 5 months away, they won't come back. So now it's like you've just got people on the radio tees, everything you have is for that 4.25 grand in the radio, and you've just got to keep on with it till about the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th.
That's right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing physically more I can do, because there's no more places
there
we can...
There is one tip I can give you.
Yeah. What else, you know, one of them can...
Andrew McFly.
Oh, come out and say.
Yeah.
Okay, just tip two. Tip two. Yeah, he actually used it.
Yes, now what? Is there something?
Yes. Yep. You know how you've got your signs out? Well, that now has to be.
Strip. You have a printing shop and they'll print it for you. It's an adhesive strip. They print you the strip and you run it across. You say, well, the strip that lasts goes, say, 24 inches or 2 feet or 3 feet. Mm. It goes just like that. You make sure they're really big letters.
What way did you come up? Did you come up through? I came up through.
Yes, I did.
Did you see my sign?
I saw your sign at Waihola.
The big one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the other one.
No, that's right. I just did the Moria Mosgiel, but I didn't worry because I had done the star, the pullouts, all the other stuff as well.
Lloyd and the other lady are in Lawrence.
Yeah, well, I didn't worry about that because I went for the papers. They went for two packet times and I went for the what's the names.
Lloyd's are too small.
So that's what I did. I thought, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to go for the papers. And that's what I did last time. Genesis and Milton, Tobacco Times and Lawrence. Blue Mountain View and Tisnoy. Radio, did the ADT. With the Dearest Ones. Southern Royal Life, man, that was the Dearest. Holy shit. Just one of those papers that everyone gets. All farmers get it, but it's the Dearest.
The cheapest is New Zealand pasture.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
You can give it to them. I have. Yeah. I give them mine.
Yeah.
Every letterbox, every post office box, every item.
Is that because you think they haven't got a lot to do? And I don't mean that rudely.
Yes, they've got it. The thing is, they've got a network.
Yeah. So they just give it.
So they're going out every day, so they may as well deliver yours as well.
Well, we weren't out to them. I'm just having to follow the post lady, and we said, oh, we're following you. And she said, what do you got? And she said, just give it to me, and I'll give it to my husband. He'll do it. What about you? Nothing. So we have a fruitcake. Sure. I know. So that's the thing, isn't it? Don't do it yourself. Get someone else to do it for you.
No.
So, God, I thought Lexi was
going
to
have it.
Oh, is it? No. She's a cake. She's right. Well, there's something about what to do, isn't there?
It's a really... I'll be fascinated because there are a lot of other things here too.
Yeah.
The no representation thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but boy, the
Central
Ontario. Like,
who voted for, who didn't, if you
like, were you for, were you against? Queenstown can Central Ontario hates it.
Yeah.
Local council.
They're an odd lot.
Oh, it was Jill there.
And they have a script. There's a lot of resentment towards Cromwell because Cromwell's growing now, Sandra, isn't it?
Yes.
But you think, I thought a lot of people coming to Alex because they can't help.
Not
a,
yeah, no, but their main towns die, so their main street, all their retail,
sure is coming. I think
and a lot of their businesses are set up in Cromwell.
Yes. What's the right date?
Shame, isn't it?
Well, I didn't understand it until I went to the public meeting, so they just went, wow.
I don't know, Jordan.
I didn't realise Tim Meffin was... Chair of Presbyterian Support. He's one of the
leading
members. Yeah. No, he's director of...
All right. Who are we missing? Councillor Scott. So we've done everything leading up to 10.8, Liz.
Yeah.
He just wants us to go.
Righto. Page 346.
Just not sure. I think he's got his board of trustees.
Got Richard and what's her name?
On the basis of labour, right?
Now,
is it on the basis of labour?
Joanne. Richard is building consent.
Oh, clear current.
Clear current.
72. What number is it?
It's page 346.
346. Councillor Scott appears to be mismothered.
Here he comes.
Here he comes. What do you do with yours that gets smothered, Sam?
I have to worry about that now, Sam, do you?
Yeah. All right, welcome. We'll continue on with our agenda, and we're on to item 10.8, page 346. Welcome, Richard and Joanna. And so this paper was dealing with an issue that came up recently with respect to our delegations of the Building Consent Authority. The executive summary spells out the issue. Richard, do you want to just give us an overview?
Yeah, very brief on that. So just as a bit of background, ORC's Building Consent Authority accreditation, which has a fairly rigorous audit process, and in the April 2018 audit, there were 26 non-compliances found. A significant amount of work was required to ensure that in future audits we could retain that accreditation. So in the follow-up audit, which was recently completed, there were only 3 non-compliances noted, so there has been a significant turnaround from Joe and the team in order to ensure that accreditation is retained. Of those 3, 2 of them are system-related and have been taken care of in terms of tweaks to the system that we record the consent process in. The third one relates to the delegations in this report, which will take care of all of those non-compliances ahead of the next audit, which will be April 2020. And we would be looking to bring a report to the new council summarising further changes ahead of that audit, just to tidy up some of the processes.
Great. Thank you. Nothing else you...
No, need? Just happy to take questions if needed.
Great. Thanks, Joanna. All right, it's reasonably clear, and recommendations are there that endorse the changes to delegations for the Building Act 2004, pardon me, and authorises the CE to update the delegations manual, and notes that the CE will bring a full review of delegations to an upcoming meeting. That's a action point that's sitting on the in the actions, I think. Yep.
Happy to move.
Councillor Scott seconded. Councillor Neil. Any discussion? Very procedural. If not, I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Mm-hmm.
Against? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys.
Thank you.
All right, on to item 11.1, Treasury Report. This just flows on and went through Audit and Risk, page 405. Nick, we just about have the job done by the time he gets to the table. And bit of an update there on from an investment on investments, and the recommendation is to note the report, receive the report. My apologies.
I'll move in that direction, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Bell. Is there a seconder? Councillor Noon. Open the report for discussion. Any updates? Councillor Scott.
Should we be satisfied with the returns that we've got? Are there any issues? Are there any risks?
No, the returns that we've received over the financial year, this financial year, were good. They were in line with, they were slightly ahead of what we'd put in the budget. And JB Weir in particular, in the time that we had that transition period, in the time that they took over the managed fund, they performed very well in the period since they've taken it over. The only thing to note, and it got mentioned earlier around the SIPO, is that obviously interest rates have dropped, so returns in general have dropped, particularly on what we hold in other funds outside of the investment, outside of the managed fund, which are in term deposits, where our returns on that are lower than what they have been previously, and they're not expected to increase anytime soon.
Thank you. No further questions. Everybody comfortable? Thank you for the update, Mr. Donnelly. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 11.2, page 411. Documents signed under council seal. A couple of warrants there, Daniel King. With respect to an enforcement officer, very much procedural. Move, Councillor Noon. Seconded, Councillor Hope. Any questions? Mrs. Gardner, very procedural. No, yep. Coming on. All right, I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye. Against? Carried. Thank you. Are there any report back from councillors? It would appear not. All right, moving straight on to the recommendations. We'll start with the recommendations of the Communications Committee.
Move, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Hope. All in favour, please say aye. Against?
Mm-hmm.
Carried. The recommendations of the public portion of the Finance and Corporate Committee. Councillor Brown.
So move.
Yep. Seconded, Councillor Noon. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Against? Carried. Recommendations of the Policy Committee. Aye. Moved, Councillor Robertson. This is a seconder for that, please. Mm-hmm. Councillor Hope, all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. The recommendations of the Regulatory Committee. Councillor Scott?
Move.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Neil. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
The recommendations from the Technical Committee.
Aye.
Seconded, Councillor Lawton. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Right, on to item 14. This is a resolution to exclude the public. And for the reasons that are outlined in the paper, I'm quite happy to move. Seconded, Councillor Hope. Any discussion? No. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Mm-hmm.
Against? Carried. Thank you.